السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، حضرة مفتي صاحب، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you again this beautiful Tuesday morning. The investment segment is the question and answer. Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to benefit from the questions and answers posed this morning. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, the platform is yours.
Inshallah, the first question, sir, can you take multiple intentions when making khatam of the Quran? Also, if so, must you seek permission of the person for whom you are making the khatam?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد. Before responding to the question, two, three announcements. Number one, today, every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, inshallah, inshallah, Aziz, we will have a special Q&A on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, between 2 and 2:30, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, between 2 and 2:30. Yesterday, a brother sent me a question. He said, can I hit my wife? Meaning, now in Ramadan. So I was very upset and I reprimanded, rebuked him. So he saw and he noticed that. So he sent another question, another message. He said, no, I made a mistake. I didn't mean I want to hit my wife, I want to kiss my wife. Now you see how people, even in Ramadan, they lie. You know you have that auto business there, type and so. Now where's hit and where's kiss, you see? So sometimes you know think people can make mistake, but now it seems but far-fetched. So absolutely haram to hit our wives and all that. You lose your temper, you hit your wife. I mean, it's crazy that, you know. So let's come to the question, my brother, that yes, as Muslims, there's no prohibition on this, so we must make dua for everybody. Khatmul Quran, you completed your Quran yesterday, last night, and so forth. So make dua for the whole ummah, those who have passed away, those who are alive, those who are still coming. So all permissible. There's no such thing you must go tell them and take permission. How are you going to take permission from the dead? Daily we read Quran Sharif for our beloved parents, our family members, the ummah, our shuhada in Gaza, in Syria, Libya, Jordan, wherever else they might be. So we must remember and read the dua, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Two statements, write it down, ulama and students. Allama Nawawi rahimahullah in his Arba'een, his compilation of 40 ahadith, has written that when Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to complete the Quran Sharif, jama'a ahlahu wa iyalahu, he used to get all these wives together, all these children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, there were over 100 barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whoever man hadara was present, they would come and make a collective dua. So whenever you complete the Quran Sharif in Ramadan, out of Ramadan, make a special dua, whoever is there, your family members and so forth. Second one, Allama Nawawi rahimahullah wrote in Kitabul Azkar, when you complete the Quran Sharif, minimum 4,000 angels descend to say Ameen, Ameen, Ameen on that powerful inspirational dua. So we should not let these type of opportunities slip through our fingers. In Ramadan we are fasting, and the beauty of Ramadan is tilawat of Quran. So you, your husband, your children, grandchildren, get together and make dua, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, if one cannot read the Arabic Quran, is it permissible to read the translation or the transliteration?
When I came back from Karachi in 1976, so I saw my father, he was reading translation and so forth and so on. And my one brother also, he couldn't read properly, you know. So I said, I'm here. I'm now went to Karachi, came back 76. I had to go to Nigel for Taraweeh. They didn't have a masjid that time. So every day my brothers would take me, Abdul Ghaffar or Ahmad Rashid, and then we would go for Taraweeh to Nigel and come back. So daytime I called my father. I say, Daddy, Abba, you know, come, we must teach you. So I used to teach him the Arabic. MashaAllah, in that Ramadan, he learned how to read Quran Sharif fluently. I got my brother also. I said, come here, your Quran reading very catch you. So I have to tell him, father is there, where are you? So my father and brother used to have competition. Who could win? So that is not a valid excuse. Remember, this is not a hadith. It is just a proverb and a saying in Arabic. Utdabul ilma min al-mahdi ila al-lahdi. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb, from the fountain to the mountain, from the mountain to the fountain, whatever you want to say. So remember that you are old, you are a new Muslim, whatever the case is. Quran is not translation. A translator many a time is a traitor. So Quran Sharif is bilisanin arabiyyin mubin. Every person must make a concerted effort to learn the Arabic language. If we bring in 5 million, 10 million Russians or Greeks here in South Africa, so what will happen? Suddenly you will see people will be learning Greek language and learning the Russian language just to make money. So why we can't do it for the sake of Islam and religion? So Quran Sharif, Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, before opening the Quran Sharif, used to kiss it and say, Hada kalamullahi ta'ala. This is the direct speech of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. Amirul Mu'mineen said, Umar radiallahu anhu warda, before opening the noble, glorious Quran, used to kiss it and say, Hada dusturu rabbi. This is the constitution of my Allah. That is not a valid excuse. I will read translation because I don't know Arabic, or I know Arabic but I don't understand. That is unacceptable.
Mufti Sahib, I'm looking for a kitab of Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone you recommend? Because there's a lot of it in the market.
Remember that if you want in Arabic, Ar-Rahiqul Makhtum is a very good one. Waisafiyu Rahman Mubarak Furi is Mubarak Furi, but in Arabic they make it a far affair. So I met him also in Medina University. So you must remember that's a good one in Arabic. It's translated in English also, the Seal Nectar. If you want in Urdu, then Siratul Mustafa. That is by Hazrat Mawlana Idris Khandelwi Nawarullah Umar Qadahu. He passed away in Pakistan in 1974. Our ulama, Jazahumullahu Khairan of South Africa, they translated it and the abridged version and so forth. So remember that 1974 he passed away. So remember that Siratul Mustafa is very good in Urdu and in English. So these are the ones we will recommend.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to pray 2 rakat qazai umri faraz after my salatul fajr? I'm a Muslim, I read at home. The question from Horatio.
Remember that if a person is a male or a female and you have qaza, so you want to read qaza salat before your fajr salat. You want to read qaza salat after your fajr salat immediately before sunrise. So yes, it is permissible. So you for the lady at home to do so is totally fine. For you for the man, if you do it in the masjid, it is permissible, but not something desirable. It's harul ma'siyah. Now you are exposing your vices and your sins. So in a case like that, you must remember that both of you should know, male and female, that is best when we make qaza, we do it at home. So you, the men, go read your fajr salat there in the masjid, and then immediately after that, your zikr and what have you, go home and read your qaza before sunrise. Totally permissible, no problem. Similarly, before asr, after asr salat, you want to make qaza of your salat. So the same law will apply. Immediately after asr, you make a qaza. But the desirable and meritorious thing is, don't make the qaza in the masjid and expose yourself. Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, la yambaghi lil mu'mini ayyuzilla nafsa. It's not permissible for a Muslim to go and disgrace himself. So yes, your qaza will be valid, even if you do so in the masjid. But remember, best is to do it at home.
Mufti Saab, can I make my sunnat at home and proceed to the masjid even before the azan is called? And can my wife make her first salah at home before the azan?
Most important thing you must know, that the time for that particular salat is entered. Let's take our example. Here, Lanesia, Johannesburg and so forth, surrounding El Dorado Park and Soweto and Bosmon and all these areas here. So you must remember that today Fajr time started at 4:45. That is 4:45, okay? So some places the Adhan will go 5 o'clock, some places it will go 5:05 and so forth and so on. So now you are sure that the time for that particular Salat has entered already. The Adhan might be after 5, 10, 15 minutes. So you read your Sunnahs at home and then you proceed to the Masjid, and that is the best for Fajr time and other Sunnahs. So we are at home. So we read our Sunnahs at home. Read Qul Ya Kafirun after Surah Fatiha. Read Qul Wallahu Ahad after Surah Fatiha. And then you go to the Masjid. That is the proper Sunnah of following the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You, my sister, my daughter, whether it is Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, any Salat, you know that you are sure the time for that particular Salat is started already. But the Adhan in your town, city, has still not gone. For example, Zohar Adhan is 1 o'clock, it's 12:45. But the time comes in at 12:20, 12:30. So 12:30, 12:35, you read your Zohar Salat. Totally permissible, provided the time for that particular Salat has entered already.
Isab, I think Taraweeh at a certain masjid, but after every 2 rakat they recite Durood Sharif on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Any evidence about this?
Remember that Taraweeh means to pause. So after every 4 rakats, it's mustahab to pause. You must remember that. And in that, you read Durood Sharif, you make dua, you read Salat independently, individually. So if they give you enough time, so all that are flexible issues. So if they are reading Durood Sharif and Salawat after every 2 rakats and so forth, we will not say it is a sunnah, but we will say it is permissible. But remember that they should not try and read it in a collective form, everybody reading together and so forth and so on, as though as creating the perception that this is sunnah and so forth. So that they shouldn't do. Individually they read, it's fine. So the best is after every 4 rakats, you pause for a little while, you make your dua, you make istighfar, you read Durood Sharif. Why is Durood Sharif called Durood? Did you ever wonder, ponder, reflect over that? It's not the Arabic word. It's not the Urdu word. So what is it? It's Farsi. It's Persian word. And it refers to a bumper crop, bumper harvest. You have a farm and then you have a bumper crop. Yawm al-Hasad. The Quran Kareem speaks of it. So you're going to sell your crops and harvest for maximum optimum profit in minimum time. Prophet there means P-R-O-F-I-T. When you read Salawat, salutations, Durood Sharif upon the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will reap the maximum reward fi dunya wal akhirah. So we won't prevent the people from reading it, but we must look for the proper occasion and the proper methodology of reading it. That is very important.
Mufti Saab, is a Muslim allowed to inherit from a non-Muslim parent or family member?
The hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad, Tirmidhi. Almost every famous hadith compilation is it. La yarithul muslimul kafir walal kafirul muslim. A non-Muslim will not inherit from a Muslim, and a Muslim will not inherit from a non-Muslim. A non-Muslim, Tom, Dick and Harry, Tom, Dick and Mary died. You are the Muslim son, Muslim daughter, you embrace Islam. So there's ijma and consent senses, you cannot inherit from non-Muslims, okay? So, and they will not inherit from you. So, till there, we have consensus. Now, briefly, I'm giving you details. Pay attention. A Muslim person passes away. First thing, burial, funeral expenses. Second thing, the debts of the person must be paid immediately. Personal debts, business, corporate debts. Justice delayed is justice denied. Third is wasiya. Wasiya means to bequeath. So I have a neighbor, one side Muslim, one side non-Muslim. Example I'm giving. I write in my will that I'm giving 5,000 rand, 10,000 rand to Tom, Dick and Mary. So non-Muslims as beneficiaries. So you can include non-Muslims in your wasiya where you are bequeathing for them. So that will be permissible. And the fourth one is the shares of the heirs. So there, that will be Muslims only. So in your case now, take that same example I gave just now. Your father, mother, family members are non-Muslim. You embrace Islam. So now, can you inherit from them? Can they inherit from you? No. But that same father of yours, same mother of yours, if they bequeath a certain sum for you and you are a Muslim, so then you can take that amount as a beneficiary. So we should understand the true fiqh and the true jurisprudence regarding these issues.
Mufti Saab, can we read Quran from different copies for reciting one Quran? Example, read 3-4 upstairs and one Quran and complete the other quarter para downstairs in another Quran.
100%, and you can do it middle stairs also. So mashallah, I'm upstairs, so I read there upstairs, there by my house, the Quran Sharif I did my hifz in. I still have my Amma Supara, where Hafiz Limalia wrote with his Mubarak hands. Whenever we used to complete a Juz, a Supara, he used to write the date and everything. The other day I was reading my sabak in my Quran, إِيَّمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُ. So Hafiz wrote there on the margin, he left school this date, you see. So I left school and then went into his class day and night all the time, you see. So then I read in that Quran. It's very precious to me. So I keep my Amma Supara and that Quran one side. I'm here downstairs. So I read in this Quran. So now in between the middle stairs, so we got another Quran. So wherever in the masjid, we got another Quran. So there I read in that Quran. So alhamdulillah, all permissible. Al-babu wasi'un, the door is very, very wide and flexible. Don't make issues of tissues and tissues into issues. So all permissible.
Kitab, is the job of a flight attendant halal or haram, and is the income halal?
I ask you three questions. That the Muslim flight attendant, male, female, they have to serve wine and swine. They have to wear a particular uniform, and then they're going to miss half, three quarter their salat. So obviously it's totally haram. And the income also is haram and so forth and so on. I give you an example what happened. Recently, my wife and myself, we flew to Durban. This lady, I could see on there by her label she had, Muslim name. She saw me. So now she felt so shy because she had to serve the alcohol, the wine and what have you and all. So when I entered the plane, so she saw me, I don't know, maybe she knows or doesn't know that what my name is, but she hid away. When I left the plane, she made like she didn't see me. But I told my wife in Kenari Korokarni, I told her in Memon, you see what she's going to do. So your own conscience is telling you that you know you are doing absolutely haram. You see that? That how can a Muslim person be serving alcohol, wine and swine? You have to wear a skirt. You have to leave out your scarf. You miss your salat. A to Z, everything is haram there. The income is haram and so forth. Not permissible in Islam.
Mufti Saab, if someone has the thing that they need to brush their teeth with toothpaste and feel it necessary due to bad breath while fasting, but they are 100% sure that they won't swallow the paste, and they prosperity with good faith.
Muslim, Islam, what does it mean? Islam means we surrender, we submit lovingly, willingly, sincerely. To who? To Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, to Mustafa Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Chapter 9, verse 62. Wallahu wa Rasuluhu ahaqqu an yurduhu in kanu mu'mineen. If you have true Iman, then your aim and objective of life will be to please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, to please Mustafa Habibuna Khatamun Nabiyeen Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Quran Kareem teaches us, chapter 59, verse 7, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the Master alayhi salatu salam brought, you must accept it from the inner recesses of your heart. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever he prohibited you from, that you must abstain. Chapter 59, Surah Hashr, verse number 7, 28 Supara, the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, he, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَخَلُوفُ فَمِسَائِمِ أَتْيَبُ إِنَّ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. That the fragrance that emanates from the fasting person's mouth, remember, people might call it odor, so it is greater and more superior by Almighty Allah than the fragrance of musk. We're not speaking of Elon Musk, the harami, we're speaking of the musk normally. So remember, that is Muslim. So suhoor time, sahri time, brush your teeth, use toothpaste, no problem. And after iftar, maghrib time, isha time, after isha, whole night brush your teeth with toothpaste, no problem. Daytime while fasting, there's no such thing as necessary. Who made it necessary? The kuffar culture. We're not interested in the kuffar culture. For them to kiss somebody else's wife, to give a peck on the neck to somebody else's husband, and all that is part of their culture. When I was in Argentina 5 times, when I was in Brazil 6 times, I had to tell my wife, see, I can't enter the shop here. You can see these ladies, how crazy they are. If I'm to buy something, they give you a peck on the neck. That is their custom. They're gracious. And you bought from here, come here, I give you a kiss. So I say, I'm standing outside. That is the kafir culture, kuffar culture. So remember, we don't bother about them. We are, our allegiance is to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, is to Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm asking you, brother, I'm asking you, sister, why you don't use the miswak abundantly? Why you don't put the abundant itar and perfume and so forth, you the men, when you emerge from your homes? So I don't use toothpaste, you must remember, daytime, but sehri time I use, after maghrib I use, before I go and sleep I use toothpaste, thrice a day. And then daytime we use the miswak excessively. We put nice itar. Just yesterday I entered the masjid. The brother asked me, what itar you put? So I just smiled because I myself don't know. I got a whole box there. I just take anyone and just put. So that is Muslim. Not we have to impress. We don't have to dress to impress. We don't have to impress the non-Muslim. We have to show Allah Jalla Wala our loyalty. We have to show Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam our allegiance. Not permissible what you are suggesting.
Mufti Sahab, does an injection in the eye or eye drops break the fast?
All medication in the eye will not impact on the fast. Your fast is totally valid. Whether you use eye drops, whether it is injections, whether it is surma, and whether it is antimony and so forth. So you must remember that these type of things, totally according to all 4 schools, it is totally permissible and your fast is valid.
Mufti Sahab, is it permissible to send out chain messages and to take part of it?
Remember, chain messages, it depends. When I was a young boy, from those days, 50 years ago, there was a message coming. I'm giving you one example. They said, there is some Waliullah Buzruk. He is in Medina Munawwara, and his name is Sheikh Ahmed. And then he saw how many 100,000 people, I don't know how many amount, are gone to Jahannam and so forth and so on. And you must send this message out to 100 people, 50 people, 20 people. And if you don't, then something bad will happen to you. Right, story time quick. I was in Newcastle for 20 years, alhamdulillah, wonderful years. 81 January to 2001 January, then I came here. January 15, I left Newcastle. I spent the night in Heidelberg, and January 16th, I came here, where I'm talking to you from now. So with Allah's help, Allah's fadl, Allah's grace, Allah's mercy, benevolence. So I came for holiday to Heidelberg, my hometown, Transvaal. So it was Jummah time, and when I used to go for Jummah, they should tell me, give lecture. I said, no problem, make khutbah, salat, whatever. So we used to do it. So I went early. So somebody left a whole stack of the Sheikh Ahmad's letter there, you know, about 30, 40, 50, whatever. So I took all of them and hid them away. Nobody will find it, and I put one in my pocket. I delivered the lecture. When I'm going to conclude my lecture now, before the khutbah salat, I took out the paper. I said, somebody left this pamphlet here in the masjid. I'm tearing it up in front of you. Let's see what happens to me. So we must show the people our faith, our yaqeen, is in Almighty Allah, and not in this fairy tale chain letters, Lal Kitab story, and so forth and so forth. Palanpur, Saharanpur, Mirzapur, Dabelpur, and all this Kolvatpur and all that fairy tales. So I tore it up. This happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago maybe. So you must remember, alhamdulillah, we're still living and we're still kicking. So you must look at the contents of it. If it's authentic, very good, you send it out. If it's false and fairy tales, you must just delete it. You're not sure? Then contact the ulama. Rabbani, ulama haqqani, the true ulama. Not the people who are collectors. Yesterday we made iftar. Somebody came and sat by us. So I know he's a collector, you see. So I told him, assalamu alaikum. Up India, said the Shrif guy. I said, gee, I came from India. Then finish our discussion. We gave him iftar, nothing, because just now, you know, asked me for money. You see that? So we don't want to promote anybody, because we don't know their history, we don't know their geography, we don't know their biology. So therefore, these type of people we can never ever promote, and we can't speak about them, we know nothing about them.
So we will take the last question. For the ladies, if they use their jewelry or if they store their jewelry, will they have to pay zakat on it?
Remember that if you have genuine gold jewelry, for example, sister, bangles, rings and lockets and whatever, you know better than me, and you are using it every week, every month, every 3 months, 6 months, there are certain occasions, so then there is no zakat on that. According to Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali's, La Zakata fil Huli. So Hanafi say that, you Hanafi ladies, whether you are using it, you are not using it, it is in the safe, in the vault, so still zakat will be compulsory. And the Hanafi's verdict here is rajih and preferred, if you study the Quran Sharif and authentic hadith. So those of you who follow the Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali school, if you pay zakat for their jewelry, that will be best for you and precaution. Don't forget, today between 2 and 2:30, we're starting our special Q&A for Ramadan. It will be a quick fire Q&A. So you just ask questions and we answer quick and end. So inshallah, between 2 and 2:30. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.